Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And now I'm introducing Rod Pyle, who is the editor-in-chief of Ad Astra Magazine. Good evening, Rod. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I mean, it's not often that you get a Time Magazine Person of the Year who has hosted Saturday Night Live and participated in some attempts at humor. Although I thought he did pretty well, quite frankly.
I thought he was extraordinarily good, considering.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a little stiff, but the thing that he brings to it that I think helped him, and I remember watching him do some talks, I think it was 2012 or 2014, you know, he was addressing crowds about SpaceX and so forth, big crowds at these space conferences. And it was like watching a fifth grader do his first book report. You know, he's polishing his shoes in the back of his pants cuffs and shifting from foot to foot and doesn't know what to do with his hands and a lot of ums and you knows and so forth. And if you didn't know who he was, you'd think, who is this dork?
This guy, yeah.
Right. But yeah. But he brought that kind of boyish charm to Saturday Night Live, and I thought it worked. And then he said, oh by the way, I have Asperger's, so consider that in your middle review of my humor. It was fascinating.
Well, and I think, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, that, you know, expectations were either non-existent or very low. Let's put it that way. And
I think the only expectations that were high were people... some foolish people, not me, of course, but some people that invested in Dogecoin during the run-up.
Yeah.
Who have now lost, let's see, I think it was at 76 when he went on the air, and it's now 12.
Yeah.
I'm holding.
Well, yes. He is, Elon Musk is the Time Magazine Person of the Year. He is, as far as I understand, the richest man in the world. He does not own a home.
Anymore, yeah.
What does he do? Rent? Does he stay on your couch? What does he...
that would be fascinating. He had, I think, eight houses.
Oh, my God.
And he, you know, he went through that kind of, ooh, I'm newly rich, I'm going to acquire a lot of stuff phase that most people do when they come into money. And he sold all of them, I think, except one, although he may have sold that one, too. And he's living in a smaller, as I understand it, kind of a modular structure out in Boca Chica, Texas, because that's where, of course, SpaceX is building
SpaceX.
Starship,
and
he wants to be right there so he can prowl the floor. And I haven't been to Starbase, which is what he calls his setup down in Texas, but I have seen him at the SpaceX factory in L.A., and he kind of prowls the workshop floor like a bear, you know, kind of the arms are out, and he's sort of looking around. And, I mean, it's not unfriendly. It's just you can see this is a guy on a mission, and I think – you know, you talk about him being Time Man of the Year. There are a lot of things you can push back on there. There are people that don't like the, you could call it, allegedly misinformation he spread about COVID. There are people that don't like the way he treats his workforce and all that.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, you say, a lot of people say the same thing about Jeff Bezos. The difference here is, as I think you'd agree, because we've talked about it, Musk is a doer. He's kind of like the Mozart of space. You know, he's this odd intellect that feels like he dropped, you know, into the 21st century out of the 31st century. And he's just, it's the guy with a bachelor's degree in physics. You know, he's not the usual kind of PhD person who comes along and does these kinds of things in terms of design and engineering and so forth, but he's just got this really special mind, and you can't argue with his accomplishments. He's really transforming the way life looks in this decade.
I love that description, the Mozart of outer space. That's good. I would copyright that right now.
Okay.
Let's talk about that outer space aspect. I was reading the Time article, and they mentioned that they claim that, and you can confirm this or not, that one of his goals is to make human beings a spacefaring civilization with eventually establishing living conditions on Mars, and as you mentioned, the Starship, that allegedly is heading for the moon. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the way he puts it most frequently is he wants humanity to be a multi-planet species, and we're not.
Right.
We visited the moon six, seven times, and we've done lots of things in orbit, but we're still living here. So his goal is to create a livable city on Mars. I don't know if we'll call it Musk Town or not, but something on Mars where people can relocate. And as he puts it, the idea is this is sort of the D drive for Earth. You know, it's the backup in case humanity gets wiped out on Earth, either by an asteroid strike or, you know, evil aliens or climate crisis or what have you.
Yeah.
The problem with that for a lot of people is, you know, 99% of us don't get to go. Right. There's going to be a small group of people that get to go, maybe as many as 100,000 over time. But he's got very lofty ambitions. But it's this kind of slightly tone deaf is too strong a word, I guess. But, you know, I'm not sure he really gets he gets very focused on these visions. And of course, he's surrounded by people that support these visions. But when you spend time with the rest of the world talking to people about this, most of them are going to say, what about me and my family? You know,
yeah,
do I get
yeah.
to go? And the
right.
answer is no.
Well, I
but
saw
to
that
do
movie.
That, yeah, exactly. We all get left behind and stand right. on the rooftops and our right. eyes melt out of our sockets while you're going off to another planet. But, you know, the side effect of this has been, and this has been his goal really since he started SpaceX in 2002, has been I want to send people to Mars because I always wanted NASA to do it. We were promised NASA was going to do it back in the Apollo era and afterwards. Nobody's doing it, so I guess I'll do it. And just a little bit of backstory, at that time, just before he started SpaceX, really his idea was much simpler. He just wanted to send a greenhouse to Mars to show that it could be done. Mm. So he went over to Russia, talked to a bunch of Russian military guys and said, I want to buy a surplus ICBM. And they looked at each other like, who is this guy? You know? And they didn't take him seriously. And I know a guy pretty well who was with him on that trip, who was with SpaceX for a while early on, who said the general actually spat on Musk's shoes and said, get
really?
Out of my office. Yeah.
Wow.
Get out of here. I don't care how much money you have. You're nuts. So on the way home, on the flight back to the U.S., Musk was literally doodling on a napkin, and he said, you know, guys, we can just build our own rockets. And that's when they started working on the Falcon 1, and they founded SpaceX. But in this quest to take people in great numbers to Mars, he's progressed through the Falcon 9, which has become kind of the de facto primary launch vehicle for the world at this point. There are others, but that's one of the most commonly used. It's incredibly reliable. Of course, it's reusable. Nobody had done that before.
Right.
Nobody had done this commercially before.
Right.
Certainly, nobody put their own money into building something like the Falcon Heavy and Starship, which is straight out of a 1950s sci-fi film.
It sure is. And I also read in this article that he wants to launch 42,000 satellites to provide internet to the entire world.
Yeah, so that's Starlink, and there are other people trying to do that. Amazon's got a system they're working on. OneWeb is another company that's working on something. But nobody's put much up there. I think OneWeb's put up, I don't know, 60 or 80 of them maybe. Amazon's mm-hmm. still fiddling around with it. Musk has put up a few thousand at this point. And they've got basic coverage. So you have to buy a dish on the ground, which they called the original Dishy McDish face because
yeah.
SpaceX. Yeah. You have to buy a ground station for, I think, $500. And then it's $100 a month. But you can be just about anywhere. The coverage isn't complete yet. Like I said, he's only got a couple, 2,000-3,000 up there. But when they get this full constellation up there, and these are in low orbit, so it's not like, you know, usually if you have like a satellite like DirecTV or something, it's at what they call geosynchronous orbit. So it's overhead in one spot, and you aim your dish, and that's it.
Yes.
It stares at it all the time.
Right.
These are zipping around in low Earth orbit, lower than the space station. At least when they start, they go up higher. And they're constantly handing the signal off to each other. So he literally needs this grid of constantly circling satellites that hand off your internet signal, bink, 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 like that, fairly quickly, so that you get this, you know, gigabit speed download, and you can be in Africa, you can ultimately be up in the Arctic, you could be just about anywhere. So it's really going to open up society in a way that has never happened before, because there's still a lot of people that don't get web service, you know.
I know. Yeah, I mean, the high-speed internet I think is part of a government goal in what they've allotted for you know, the amount of money they've allotted to improve the infrastructure of the United States. I know locally there's some communities that are going fiber optic so that they can bring high-speed internet to rural areas. But what you're talking about, wow, I didn't realize it was that extensive.
It's truly global, and I had the wonderful opportunity to interview one of his key investors back when SpaceX was just about, they're just about going under in 2008.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy named Steve Jurvetson got them a bunch of money, $100 million is what it was rumored to be, but I don't know. But anyway, he basically bailed them out. And, you know, part of what sold them on it was this vision of the Starlink idea in the future. And you know, interviewing, Steve is another one of these guys that just has one of these brilliant intellects. And you sit in the room and you feel like the oxygen is being sucked out because you're this really smart guy. But he was saying, think of how many Mozarts, how many Einsteins, how many geniuses there could be in the world that don't have a voice, that don't have education, that don't have access. When they come into the conversation, humanity will be elevated. And I practically cried.
You know, it's
a beautiful vision.
The first time I had, I lived in a rural area and I had Dish, and, you know, I set up the Dish out in the field.
Right.
And I was thrilled with the idea that this was coming from literally outer space to my house. I just thought, wow, this is so cool. But what you're talking about makes that look like, you know, chopped liver, so to speak. I mean, if you've got thousands of satellites circling on a low orbit, passing off an internet signal to one another, and yet you have on Earth, no matter, it's like your global hotspot. You know, I mean, no matter where you are, is this available now or is this still in the works?
It is. No, it's available now in kind of a beta service. So people are saying that it's not as fast as they'd like. But again, it's fairly thin coverage once it's up there. Now, there are some downsides. This puts a lot more stuff in orbit. We've talked in your show before about how much stuff is already up there. But he's putting intelligent systems in there so they know to avoid each other and other things. They won't bang into the space station and so forth. When they stop working, they deorbit themselves, so that's a great service. One thing they have not been able to solve is that astronomers all over the world are crying foul because there's these bright dots going overhead constantly, and it wrecks their imaging.
Yeah.
So they've tried painting them darker colors and making them less reflective and cutting down on increasing the directionality of their signals and so forth. But ultimately, you know, it's just one of those sacrifices I think we're going to have to make. There's going to be a chunk of the science community that's going to stay unhappy, but look what it does for the rest of the planet.
You know, we haven't even mentioned Tesla.
Which is what made him really rich, by the way. I didn't realize at the start of 2020, he was only worth $26 billion.
That's it? Oh, my goodness. He's a pauper.
By a factor of 10. Yeah, poor fella. Went up by over a factor of 10 in like a year and a half. And a lot of that was Tesla because, again, you know, he goes into this business. We remember the talk about electric cars before Tesla came along. Yeah. Can't be done. Look at the GM EV1. It was a failure.
We're going through a lot of the reasons that Time Magazine selected him as the person of the year. Rhett, thank you for being with us again. You know, the one word that came into my mind after reading all of the things that Time had to say, the word that kept popping into my head was risk. That this guy was willing to take, he had the money and he was willing to take the risk. He was willing to walk to the very edge. He was willing to look bankruptcy in the face and still keep moving, which in itself an amazing thing. Thank you so much, Rod. It's always great to talk to you, Rod. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Take care.
All right. Stay on Earth if you can.